Gave him bread to his brothers. He said, Goliath the giant was out there running down the children of Israel, and he said, well, who's going to go out there and fight him? And nobody would go. He said, I'll go. And he said, because when I was out on watching my father's sheep, a bear came in. And he said, he grabbed a little lamb. And he said, I went after that bear. And he said, you know what? He said, I took that bear, and I guess he whooped him, because he took that little lamb out of that bear's mouth. I mean, you talk about a grizzly. What are they, 10 or 12 foot tall? And they weigh about 1,800 pounds? And their paw prints are probably 18 inches across. You take a little boy, and how old was he when he was watching his father's sheep? Not very old. I know there's a song about Daniel Boone. He killed a bear when he's only 3 years old. But I thought, now that's just a legend. But this is in the Bible. Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. That's who he was. And Daniel Boone, but they did blaze their way for across the United States of America and made us where we are at today, isn't it? I'm grateful for those men. I am. I'm glad they paved the way, cutting out underbrush and everything. And then Daniel said there was a lion come in. And he said, you know how big a lion gets? He said, I got him by the beard. And he said, God had to bend behind him. Because let me tell you, God would have to say, right there standing beside me, to go tell me to tackle a bear or a lion, I ain't going to touch one. Because I know what they'll do to you. They're mean. But he just talked like it was nothing. So he said, I'll go out there and talk to that. He said, I'll go out there and fight that heathen. So he went to a brook, and he got him five little stones. The fivefold ministry is what he got. He had God behind him. And he picked out a stone out of the brook, wasn't it? And it was smooth. And he took one of them rocks and put it in his little slingshot, because they tried to give him all of his armor and stuff. He said, I haven't tried this. He said, I'm not proven with it. That's right. So he said, but I know how to use a slingshot. You know what a slingshot is? Have you ever made one? When I was a kid, I made one. I took me two strings about so long, and I had an old shoe that I'd been wearing, and it had a leather tongue in it, see? So I took the tongue out of it because it's already wore out. And I took the tongue out, and I cut me two little holes in the end of it. And so I went out in the back. That's all we had to play with. We didn't have computers and stuff at home. And we didn't hardly have nothing. We'd go out and play in trees and climb up in trees. And did you ever climb up a tree and just swing out over, you know, stuff like that? That was a lot of fun. I wish I could still do that today. I'd probably still do it if I could. But anyway, I made me a slingshot that had about, maybe 45, 50 inches of string on it. And I put me a rock in it. And I slung that thing around and around and around and around and around. And then I let that thing go. And let me tell you, it would go. I hit the barn door with it. Man, it made a loud pop. I mean, so that's what David had. And he said, and he walked out there, and that Philistine told him, he said, I'll feed you to the birds before the day's over. And he said, you don't know my God. He said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord, my Lord, and my Lord is going to prevail. He did, didn't he? He took that rock and that sling and around, round and around his head it went, and he let that thing go, and where did it strike him at? Right between the eyes. That was the only place that was uncovered. Where did he hit him at? In his noggin. Hit him right in the noggin. Right in his knowledge. You know, we can be just as smart as anything here. I mean, we can be the smartest duck in the pond. We can be the richest person on earth. We can have anything on this earth that we want. But if we don't have God in our lives, we don't have one thing. I mean, really, we don't have nothing. I mean, because it means everything. God loves us. God wants to live with us and live within us. You know, I asked a man the other day. We was getting groceries somewhere, and Brother Durham brought this subject up, so I will have to blame him for this. But there was a man walking down through there, man, woman, and I walked up to him. I said, "I want to ask you a question." He said, "What is it?" I said, "How long have you been saved? And tell me, what saved you? Why did you get saved?" He told me, he said, "My daddy was a preacher. And he was," I think he told me, he said, "I'm 82 years old, I believe." He said, "I've never been out of church yet." He said, I've been in church ever since. And we, you know, when I asked him that question, his eyes lit up and a smile come on his face. And he said, "Why did you ask me that?" I said, "Because I wanted to know." I said, I'm curious. I asked another man, I said, "How long have you been saved?" He said, "I got saved when I was 12 years old. He said, "Let me tell you why. An 18-wheeler hit me broadside, tore my car all to pieces. He said, "I was pinned into this car for I don't know how long. He said, "I almost died." He said, "God touched me." He said, "God touched me." And he said, "I knew it." He said, "That's when I turned my life over to God." He said, "And another time, a bee stung me on the neck." He said, "I'm highly allergic to bee stings." He said, "My face swelled up, my throat swelled up, I couldn't swallow, I couldn't even breathe." He said, "But God brought me through it." He said, "So I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm glad I'm saved. I am, I'm glad I'm saved. I don't know where I'd be without God. Without God touching my life, what would I be?" You know, Brother Smith talked today about the things we go through just to humble us. And that meant something to me, because I begin to realize the things that I've been going through has been trying to humble me. So I've been saying, "God, have mercy on me. Let me get the picture. Don't let me fail. Don't let me miss out on being humble in my spirit. Help me to humble my life to you, God. I want to do whatever you want me to do, Lord. Just help me and guide me." And with this body of Christ that we're in and under this fivefold ministry, I believe we can do it. Don't you? I believe we can all do it. Not only will he impute righteousness within our hearts, but he knows what we're going to be. He knows what we're going to become. I don't have any idea what God is going to do with me. I have no idea what I'm going to be when I get there. But he knows. So he's imputing enough righteousness on me to have mercy on me until I become up to the measure of Christ. That's my desire. My desire is to walk closer to God and to give him my, like Brother Brett was saying, we can only just do so much. We can do all we can do. That's all we know to do. And there for a long time, when God, even when I first came back to God and stuff, I had so much guilt in my heart that I couldn't hardly live with it. What I'm trying to say is, even though you try to live for God, the guilt itself overrides your desire to serve God. You think, I'm not worthy to serve God. That's true. We're not worthy to serve God. But sometimes we can let our guilt override the joy that God can place down in our hearts. It's a joy to serve God. It's a thrill to serve God. It's an honor to serve God. It is. Back to the two missionaries that came to our school. God bless their souls, you know. They told me about little David. Told me about Christ. They told me about the apostles. They told me about Peter and John came to the lame, the man that was lame at the gate. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And that man jumped up and walked. Wouldn't you? I would just love to give my 2 cents to someone to let them know there really is a Christ that is dwelling in me, that has changed my life from a sinful nature that I once was to a righteous person. I'd love to give that to them. You know, but unless the Spirit of God draws them, they can't come in, but we can help them. We can help them. God wants to save everybody. And so that's what I'm doing. If when I go grocery shopping or when I'm out and about, I'm looking for people to talk to. Because, you know, we this whole country needs to get back to Christ, to get back to what Christ represents, and that is the love of God. You know, because I know the school, the little school I went to, I was fortunate that I had two missionaries that brought a board and taught me about Jesus Christ. Not only that, but I had a mother and father that took me to church. That my mother would get up and sing. And mom and dad would take us to church. And my grandmother and grandfather would get up and talk about how good God was. At the time, I really didn't know. But I'm glad God gave me an opportunity to let that stick in my heart. And that's why I'm here today, is those opportunities that God gave me is letting me be here today. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for His mercies. His mercy, like Brother Fisher said a while ago, His mercy endureth forever. And I'm glad of that. I appreciate God. I want to pray. I my heart just sinks. About the people in Haiti. It just hurts me so deep because you see those poor people there, and I don't have much to give them, but I can pray for them and pray for a miracle because I know those people need help. And pray for me. Pray for me. I need your prayers. We need your prayers. We all do. But keep us on your prayer list. Thank God.
talking about God's mercy. And back in 2001, the youth was getting ready. We were getting ready to have a youth meeting. And this was about a year after Brother Phil got back in church. And all of our young people sit down in the front. Brother Liniger wanted them up close. And it just became a tradition for them to sit in these two pews, or this aisle and aisle. And they were just all gathered together. And Brother Philip, the Lord really touched him. And he was down here in the front. He actually preached to the young people. He was giving them his testimony, what the Lord had done for him. And I have that tape. And the reason why I'm talking about that tape, in 2002, we were getting ready for a fellowship meeting, and David was in the hospital, and Holly was sitting with her daddy that night, that Friday night. And this was, I think, September. It was September the 12th or 13th, right in there. And she was giving me some relief. And she called me and told me, she said, "Brenda, don't come up and sit with Daddy. I'll stay with him till at least 1 or 1:30. And I said, "Okay." And she was telling me all that had happened to her daddy. And I thought, oh, a fellowship meeting today. I'm going to go. I didn't tell anybody that I was going to go, because they'd think, well, how terrible when your husband's up there dying, you know. You need to be up there with your husband. Well, I had been for almost a year. And I was getting ready, and I went and picked up a tape, and it was the tape of the youth before the youth meeting. And I listened to Brother Philip. I mean, he was up for a long time, and he brought a blessing. I mean, a blessing. It was so strong, the Spirit was so strong, that the youth didn't have to walk down to the front. They fell out in the Spirit in their seats and started screaming and crying and praising the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord came so strong in my bathroom, me trying to get ready for church. And after they all just started just running the aisles and everything, Sister Liniger got on the piano and she started that chorus, "Lord, please use me. And don't refuse me, for surely there's a work I can do." And the Spirit of the Lord was so strong in that bathroom, I just lifted up my arms and surrendered. And I started praying, and the Spirit was so strong, I started talking in tongues. And I didn't know what I was rejoicing over. I just felt the Lord. And it's strange, and during this time, while I was rejoicing, I was trying to fix my hair, and it's hard for people to believe this, but it's the gospel. I opened my eyes, and there stood Sister Shirley Bailey right by my side, and she was just like this, looking at me, because she's a lot shorter than me, like everything's going to be all right. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because God's mercy, His mercy, His love is forever. And I closed my eyes again, and then she was gone. And then Brother Liniger got to singing a song about, when I talk to the Lord, when I call Him up and talk to Him, when He picks up the phone, and I got to shouting. And again, somebody else up here beside me, dancing with me in my family room, and that was Sister Tally. She was standing beside me. And don't tell me God don't send angels, because I experienced them. Sister Crow experienced them in the hospital. I could hardly take it. And I got to church. And Sister Judy Matheny
was standing right back here, and I got to telling her my experience at home, and I couldn't really talk to her for feeling that rejoicing. And I said, I want y'all to take care of the singing at the funeral. I was planning his funeral. Ask one of his doctors to be an honorary pallbearer because he was dying. And Brother Ronnie walked up, and I told him, I said, I want you to preach David's funeral. I want y'all to sing. And a chorus started. After the band, a chorus started. Somebody walked up front for prayer, and everybody went down there. And I went down there, and I was telling Shirley about her standing before me, beside me. And I was just crying. I still was so blessed. I didn't know why. Oh, God is so merciful. And Brother Ronnie walked up through me. Brother Whitaker knows all about this. He said, Brenda, hey, would you like to go stand up in line in prayer for David? I said, oh, yes. I got about halfway. And I went out. I just couldn't take it anymore. And I've never been in a tornado. Now, it may not sound like this to anybody else. Sister Crow told me the spirit was real strong. But I've never been in a tornado. But all I heard was a rushing, you know, in the New Testament. It was talking about when the Holy Ghost fell, there came a mighty rushing wind. It was just the way I kept feeling. It just kept coming. And it kept coming. And it just kept coming. And I kept hearing this roaring. This roaring. It's like it was just a mighty rushing wind. That's what it was to me. And after a long period of time, this was over. I went back to my seat. And I looked at my watch, and it was time. It was past time for me to get back up to Relief Holly. And it's still real. It's still real in my soul, what God has done. And so I went ahead and went on up there. And when I got there, Holly called. And she said, Brenda, about noon, she said she was making necklaces and things just to pass the time away. She said, about noon, she said, Daddy looked over at me. And he said, what are you doing here? She said, well, I'm sitting with you. He said, well, where am I? He started asking her questions. Oh, that was so real. I called Brother Whitaker and left him a message on his cell phone. God touched him. David was dying of the worst staph that ever has been known into the hospital, and they had pumped him with steroids and antibiotics. You saw he was all blown up. God healed him, that staph. And don't tell me God's not merciful. I praise him. I praise him. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's an everlasting lover to my soul.
church, and that's the song by Brother Liniger, and that's always been one of my favorite songs he sang. I remember him standing up here, you know, I remember working over in the PA room and hearing him sing this time and time and time again. And the thing about it was, you know, I guess it's a song that some people would belt it out, but if y'all remember how Brother Liniger used to sing it, he used to be so smooth. I think he liked to envision those old cowboy singers. Remember how I used to do, but it's in the key of C. Well, when my Lord, is that an F? Phone. We'll do it in C, but it starts in F chord. Lord picks up the phone, we talk things over, he and I, and he tells me not to worry, not to fret much, no, not to cry. I may be born to toil and trouble, but I don't toil or cry alone, till in prayer I reach that switchboard, when my Lord picks up the phone. Sometimes I feel neglected, sometimes so all alone, as through this world I wander with heavy heart, I stumble on. Sometimes I lose direction, sometimes I can't carry on, till in prayer I reach that switchboard and my Lord picks up the phone. Well, when my Lord picks up the phone, we talk things over, he and I, and he tells me not to worry, not to fret much, no, not to cry. I may be born to toil and trouble, but I don't toil nor cry alone. I reach that switchboard when my Lord picks up the phone. Well, when my Lord picks up the phone, we talk things over, he and I, and he tells me not to worry, not to fret much, no, not to cry. I may be toil and trouble, but I don't toil or cry alone. When in prayer I reach that switchboard, when my Lord picks up the phone. Sometimes I feel neglected, sometimes so all alone, as through world I wander with heavy heart, I stumble on. Sometimes I lose direction, sometimes I can't carry on, till in prayer I reach that switchboard and my Lord picks up the phone. Well, when my Lord picks up the phone, we talk things over, he and I, and he tells me not to worry, not to fret much, no, not to cry. I may be born to toil and trouble, but I don't toil or cry alone. Till in prayer I reach that switchboard, when my Lord picks up the phone. Well, when my Lord picks up the phone, we talk things over, he and I. And he tells me not to worry, not to fret much, no, not to cry. I may be born to toil and trouble, but I don't toil or cry alone till in prayer I reach that switchboard when my Lord picks up the phone. Well, when my Lord picks up the phone, we talk things over, well, he and I. And he tells me not to worry, not to fret much, no, not to cry. I may be born to toil and trouble, but I don't toil or cry alone till in prayer I reach that switchboard when my Lord picks up the phone.
Appreciate this service so much. I feel like the Lord's heard us. I feel like the Lord talked to us this morning, and then I feel like the Lord talked to us again tonight. I appreciate that. He hasn't forgot us. And, you know, I was just sitting there, actually standing there thinking, and a thought came to my mind that if someone that had never been to this church was to walk through that back door, he wouldn't know that there was Republic people or Little Rock people here. Y'all see what God's done. Y'all see how he worked in the service today. There wasn't Republic. We used to say, you know, the Republic people are coming, and we're going down to see the Little Rock. Well, now we're just one. I mean, we just all work together. Use the gifts that God's given us to magnify and edify one another, and I think that's wonderful the way God's done that. I appreciate that. It's just God. And so it's been a wonderful weekend. Let's really pray for Brother Smith. He's not feeling good at all, and he'll be flying to Brownsville tomorrow for the meeting. He'll be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and fly back Thursday. But I know he's doesn't feel good, and he's real tired and drug out. So let's pray for them. Let's continue to pray for the needs in the church and also for our brothers and sisters over in Haiti. But aren't you glad you came to church? I am. I'm so thankful. I also want to say how good it is that when we first started coming down here a couple of years ago, Brother Mike came here just once in a great while. You just see him once in a while. But now he's here quite often. I appreciate him coming, being faithful. We need all of God's workers. We got a lot of work to do here, Brother Mike, and we need all the help we can get. Thank God. So. Anyway, let's stand and let's thank the Lord for this wonderful weekend. Let's ask God to keep his hand on us this week and to bring us back safe again Wednesday. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy.